And in our exercise of looking at chapter 5 and keeping that in mind, we have been looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, which is absolutely essential. In other words, God has to be involved to have anything of God. So, and God makes possible all that he does of himself because God died in Christ on Calvary's cross. And thus, God brings to us himself. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to fulfill and outwork all that the Lord Jesus Christ has made possible. So, and here we're looking at it in Galatians, in particular in verse chapter 5, and verse 22 and verse 23, the fruit singular of the Spirit of God, and then it lists 9 fruits of 9 million fruits, just to give you an example. And love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and then the last one, which is temperance. And we've looked at these, except for temperance. And keep in mind, it's the fruit of the Spirit of God. And easy way to remember it, if you would, if you'd go to a funeral home with me for a moment. I'm going to go to the funeral home, and we're going to see the body laying there up in the part of it, and we're going to look at the body. Now, and we could say a whole lot of things about the person or whatever we want, and the person that was there laying in the casket is just going to be there. And so no matter what we say, good or bad, it doesn't matter. Because they're what? Dead. They're dead. Now, but when we're alive, everything comes to us because we're alive. And when we're alive, everything that comes is taken by us in whatever way, our background, whatever we have to about anything. And we bring it into us, and we analyze it, understand it, experience it, enjoy it or hate it. We do it. That's how we do everything, whether it comes from a good source or a bad source. That's how we do where we receive. Now, the problem, what do we need to know? God said, listen, he said, very simply, I'm going to tell you how to enjoy your life in Christ. Reckon yourself dead. Not alive. Did you get the illustration? Dead. It doesn't matter what they do, because they are not. They're not interpreting it. That when they were alive, they did, but now that they're dead, they don't do that, because they're dead. Christ died on the cross to set us free from self. He died so that he took your death and my death to Calvary's cross. And therefore, he said, I've finished it for you to enjoy a wonderful relationship to who I am. Reckon yourself, Romans 6:11, reckon yourself what? Dead indeed unto sin. Reckon yourself dead. Now, my point I'm trying to get at, we have all these fruits, love, joy, peace. And we look at each other, well, let's see, I have a little bit of love every year or two. And joy and peace, well, yeah. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, I'll try it. And meekness, faith, yeah, a little bit. And meekness, yeah, whatever that is, meekness. Must be a dumb sheep, you know. I don't a dumb sheep. And temperance. Who knows that? You have to be an Olympian to train for the Olympics to have temperance, self-control. So I don't. So I have it. I read it. We studied it. I'm going out the door. I can't put one of those words to work apart from God. That's our error. We assume, as we read, we interpret it and bring it. And then we try to understand it based on us, how we understand it. Everyone understands differently. And we bring it into our life. And temperance, meekness, no. And the words don't go anywhere because we can't do them. And we go and try to discipline, I'm going to be stronger in this and better in that. And then we try. And some people do pretty good. And remember the illustration, since we're looking at pests, remember the illustration of the balloons? And you know those people that can take the balloon and make it go 45 different directions, and it looks like a whatever it does, crocodile or something, and a balloon's there. And all of it's there and all over the place. And we're like that. And we try to fix things. We're like the balloon. So we go to the school, we study, and we discipline ourselves, and we push this part of the balloon in, and this part sticking out, and we push it in, and push it in to make it go away. Did it go away? No, it pops out over here. That's what it did. That's how we handle our life. That's people who are disciplined. That isn't what God's saying. Reckon yourself dead. All that I'm going to do is from me. Fruit, singular. It's from me. It isn't from you. The life I now give you is mine, not yours. The life that you now live is not yours. It's mine. You want to enjoy a unique, personal, intimate relationship to me. Love, joy, peace. And when you abide like the branch in the vine, you enjoy all the life of the tree. You get the leaves and you get the fruit. You disconnect from the abiding. John 15:5. These are so common and yet rarely understood. Without me, you can do nothing. I can say that for the 17,000th time, and it doesn't sink in our head. And that's why it doesn't go anywhere. And I'm trying to help you understand all that God has for you involves him. And it doesn't involve your intellect, your IQ, or anything else you got. It's simply God's wonderful grace to give to whosoever that would be believing the benefits. Oh, damn it. God. Excuse me. Okay. Now we'll do the same thing. Are you getting the idea? I'm trying to help y'all. Human, we are definitely humans, and we're caught, and we're going to be humans till we drop dead, literally. So you have to understand that. And most of what you read and what we do and practice, we do it because we are going to get it, and we're going to Israel. Exodus 19, verse 8. All that you say, God, we will do. And now we're living with Israel over there. God bless them. And they're still trying to do. And they never do. Because they left God out of the picture. Do you understand? And when you leave God out of the picture, you don't have God. I don't care how you say it, and I don't care if you were a bishop or a cardinal or a pigeon. Doesn't make any difference. You don't have it. And you can be up here and give a message and do whatever you want. You don't have it. It has to come. God has to do it. Otherwise, we're trying to learn. I got the 3 points today. I got them in my head. I'm going to try to work them. And they'll disappear. Because you're looking to be alive and not dead. That is, and remember when you read, since we're off base here a little bit, remember when you read Romans 6:11, you want to always keep in mind chapter verse 12 and verse 13. What's verse 13? What's verse 13? I gotta look. See if I find. Romans 6. And in verse 13. 6 and 13. You want to tie that together? Because Romans 6:11, likewise, reckon, calculate, compute, reckon yourself also is to be dead, dead, dead indeed, indeed, most certainly, most surely, dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, because you're dead, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't you keep living your carnal self-life. You want to enjoy God's life. Therefore, verse 13, neither yield yourselves, your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, neither yield yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive. Back to verse 11, alive. Down to verse 13, alive, those that are alive from the dead, and your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, as instruments of righteousness unto God. You reckon yourself dead, and you're in Christ, you're a new creature in Christ, and therefore you want to enjoy the relationship. Thank you, God. We're abiding. We're resting by faith, resting down in God's word, in God's way, for God's glory. We're resting. It's a simple relationship. But very rarely is it done, because who wants to be dead, right? Who wants to be dead? No one wants to be dead. How can you have lunch if you're dead? You got it. Therefore, trying to get you, it isn't all of these words we're looking at come from God. God is all of this and a zillion times more of it, more. He's all of this. And you have to be looking and abiding and resting in his finished work. He, Christ, died, was buried, and rose again. And he gave you his wonderful relationship. We're in his presence. We have his word. You have him in your heart. Exercise it. You're in his presence. You received him as your Savior. You have his word in front of you. Then exercise the relationship. Simple. And whatever you do, do it as unto what? As unto the Lord. That's what you do. It's a simple life. But you'll rarely see it because we're us. And we just don't do that. So, now having said that little bit, here we are looking at the last illest word in this particular statement, temperance. Temperance is the opposite. Go up to, if I can, in chapter 5 of Galatians, and you'll go up to verse 19. When all the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. And lasciviousness is lewdness. It has to do with the excitement, lust, desire, let loose, desire running rampant. No restraint at all is there. So it's indulgence. It's the being loose and doing whatever as you wish, wildly. Temperance is the opposite of that. So when we come down to verse 22, temperance. And temperance has two words. Little word power, and the little word I-N, in power, temperance. In power, temperance. In power, the opposite of lasciviousness. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, as we just looked at and as we just did, keeping that in mind, if you would, now. So in the process, all that we get then is not going to come from us. It has to come from God. So as we abide, what's happening? The tree is feeding the branch. The branch can only what? It doesn't look for a specific, here's the branch, here's the tree feeding water and nutrients from the ground into the branch. The tree isn't saying, listen, I need another glass of water. The tree isn't saying, I need a little more of this, a little more of that. The tree isn't saying, the branch isn't saying that. The tree is just going to be feeding it completely what it needs. So the tree is going to feed the branch what? The life of the tree. The life of the tree includes the water and everything else that's needed. The branch never has to say, I need this. Now, hang on to that. I don't want to lose it. You got the idea. What do you know? You have a heavenly Father, John 6:8-32, who knoweth your need before you ask him. You do not need to beg God the Father to provide you temperance or anything. That's yours. It comes automatically with your relationship to Christ as your Savior. It's automatic. Love, joy, peace, the whole ball of wax is yours. According to God's, as you need it. So I never have to say, God, I need more water. There's always the right amount of water. In my relationship to God, there's always the right amount of power in my relationship to God. Everything we need as I abide God, his person, is going to fulfill all that. You understand? That's what it means to be saved. That's what a Christian is, contrary to the system. And therefore looking to God as he outworks power in power. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so we've taken those words and taken them, each word, and then, because you turn the pages, sometimes it says fruit, sometimes it just uses one word. It uses love often, joy, peace, etc. And we looked at the words. So as you're turning and reading your New Testament, as you're reading God's word, God's telling you that there's love, there's joy, there's peace, and it gives you the context of where it's found so that you can what? You can enjoy what? The flow of life into the branch. The flow of life into the branch as you turn in the pages. And it just keeps working and working and working. And if you don't do that, if you don't understand that, the words just go right past you. So let's try it. So here we are, and we need to empower. So I want to get that word and lock it in to my little head. So over, if I can, in your Bible to Matthew and in chapter 26. In Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, if I may, picking up, in verse 26 and in verse 4. And remember, power, and then in power, to be able to have the force, F-O-R-C-E, force, power, to do something, to be in control, to pick up the tissue. I'm in control of the tissue. I pick it up. I'm taking control in power. The tissue becomes in power, in my hand, power. Now, so therefore, in chapter 26 and in verse 4. And they can say, I'm not going to read the context each time, but the idea, they're after all the wood. And consulted that they might take. Do you see the word take? That's the word power. To take power. I'm just giving you the power part. What did they do? They took power. They had the power. And they, verse 4, take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. That's what they're going to do. Verse 48, arise, let us go, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Verse 46, verse 48, now, 48, Matthew 26, 48, now, he that betrayeth him gave him a sign, that's Judas, saying, whomever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. Hold him. Hold. Power. I just want you to see the word, power. To be in control, not lascivious, no control. The opposite, control, like the athlete. And I give quotes of that, lengthy quotes. Of back then in the days of the Greeks and Romans. And they were the discipline that was required to train what they ate, how they slept. Everything about their life had to be under control. Under control. What for? And so the trainer was to train the athlete to be in control of his body. To compete, to take control of your body. How am I going to take control of your body? Reckon yourself dead and alive to God. That's how you do it. The Greeks couldn't do that. The Greeks paid, and they paid in their body to in discipline. But we don't have to do that, no. No, because we're dead, and we couldn't do it. But God does it. So God, we reckon ourselves dead and alive unto God. Let me keep going so you see it. Verse 50. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus, and they took him to take in power. That's what they did. And verse 57. And they that had laid hold on him, on Jesus, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled, all taking power, holding in power. Over if I can, in Ephesians. Well, Ephesians. And you'll see all kinds of ways, but just so you catch it. You got to get this part to get the other part. Ephesians. And in chapter 1, and you'll see it in verse 19. Ephesians 1, 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? There's your word. Power. His power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Power. His wonderful, wonderful, wonderful power. His wonderful power. His mighty power. And chapter 6. Chapter 6 again, as you know. And picking up, if I can, in verse 10, on our armor. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, power. So they have to force the power to be able to be in control, to be able to do what you need to do in the process. So having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, so temperance, God's ruling power, the power to rule, the power to govern. It's used of kings having power, rule, etc. So now, so God, what are you going to do? God's going to provide for us temperance. God is wonderfully always in control. Now, remember, put the two together. His meekness. Meekness, remember, we shared. Meekness, Matthew 11 and 29. I am meek and lowly in heart, he said. Get your learning from me. And here's the ox yoke. And our Lord's under the head, under one of the side of the our Lord Jesus is. And he tells us to get on the other side as a student. And the ox is going to train the young ox how to move. And the old ox is meek. It yields. It doesn't fight the yoke. The driver, God, as it were, wants to go left, wants to go right, wants to go backwards, forwards. And the ox moves, exactly. It doesn't fight the yoke. It lives under the yoke. Temperance means now, that's me. That's meekness. And meekness means I'm yielding, I'm submitting. Remember the word we shared it. To balance the scale, to walk worthy. The Lord Jesus Christ is the standard, God's standard. When you receive him as your Savior, over here, here's a scale, and you receive him as your Savior, and God, when God in Christ, in you, and balances, what balances? Christ over here, our Lord Jesus Christ over here. It balances the scale. Walk worthy, balance the scale. Be in submission. Now temperance comes along, and temperance says, I'm in full control of my emotions. No matter what's happening, I'm looking to be in control of what I do. I'm not rational. I'm not irrational. I'm looking to go, move very orderly. I yield. I'm in control. And you know, for people that illustration had to come to my head. I remember years ago playing, not when I used to do something, sometime. And in the process, they were playing in the court, soccer court, or handball court, or whatever it was, in the handball court. And I was with someone else out there. And in the process, they're doing what they're doing. And we were young guys, you know, we knew everything. And we were able to do everything, you know. What are these old guys going to do? And they're there. So here are these old guys in the air. And we did, you know, we hit power to hit the ball. Yeah. And they did that. And the old guys just did they yawned, and they went. And we did whatever. And the old guys just knew where to go, hit the ball. And they beat the pants off of us. That's what they did. They knew how to play the game. They were in control of the game. We were not in control. They had temperance. They knew. The ox yoke, our Lord, is meek, and he's has temperance. He's in control. In the will of God. And you on the other side are learning to be meek. You on the other side of the yoke are learning temperance. Where are you learning it from? God's outworking in your heart. That's where it's working from. And you're learning. You're learning. You don't have to panic. You don't have to get upset. Control, control, control. Do you understand that? Temperance. How to have control. And you do it. And I'll give you, this is a personal illustration, which I shouldn't use, but I would do it so often. Over the years, I have spilled and dropped many, many, many things. Just literally. Literally, I've had Jeanette give me this special dinner to put in the microwave. I put it in the microwave, all the stuff, you know, and I put it in, and I take it out, and just the slippage, and I drop the whole thing on the floor. Drop the whole thing on the floor. I've done that so many times. I've done everything so many times. So the literally, when I was a little boy, you spilt the glass of water, you know, you don't mean to do it, and they yell at you, don't be careful. Okay, I'm way past the glass of water. I'm way past that. What's it teach me? What has it taught me? I don't say anything, no matter what. No matter what, I don't. Where did I learn that? The call of your heart knocks. And over again. And I never open my mouth, no matter what it is. Silence. That took what? That's taking what? And I still do it. Do you understand? God, I don't have to spill anything anymore. God said, no, you aren't finished. And so we're going to have spilled some more stuff. Why? Because that's what's going to keep you in the place to be a good student. And if you don't go through it, you'll never be a good student. And you won't learn. So therefore, God, we're looking to be what? Tempered. Temperance. Now, over if I can, while you're here, in Ephesians, I did Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, in case I missed it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we're able to have this wonderful, wonderful power. And temperance, God gives us this power. Now, in order to just keep seeing it, if we can, over to Revelation, and Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. And all I'm doing is, Kevin, when you read your Bible, you're going to keep reading these words. And you're going to be catching them. Catching them. If I can. In Hebrews chapter 2, and if I may, Hebrews, where are you? Hebrews 2, and picking up, if I can, in verse 14. The devil, chapter 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, 14. Inasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil has the power to kill death. The devil does. He has the power. He has the authority. You need to have the authority to handle your body and your heart and mind. You need to have temperance. Yeah. And picking it up where you're there, little word, go chapter 4. And in chapter 4, picking up, please, if I can, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And there's the word hold fast, power. Power to hold firmly in place. Firm, power, power. Let us hold fast our profession. How am I going to hold fast that? Abiding. You abide in me, I abide in you. I'll provide you the life that you need. The life that you need involves temperance, power. You need to have power. You need to have power. You need to be able to do it. Think of what we're doing in Joshua and all that, chapter 10, 11, and that. And what are they going to do? The odds are overwhelming against them, against the 600,000. But they just go. And they go off in long, 36, 40 hours straight in battle. That's something else. In power. In power. God gives them the power. God gave them the power. That's how they did it. How are we to do it? God teaches us to trust him and rest in him. So we aren't unbalanced. We're meek, flexible, to whatever, submissive, whatever God, and we have temperance, control. We understand God's outworking his will in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and we're trusting him as it goes down the corridor of time. So let us hold fast. Chapter 6. And you will note, if I can, chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 18. Well, a little context. Verse 17. Well, verse 16. More context. Chapter 6, verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. I swear to tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Verse 17. Wherein God willing, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now we say it in court or something, swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, etc. Now God said, you say that. Well, God said, I'm going to say it to you. I'm going to tell you. I swear to tell the truth. I swear to tell the truth. I made a promise, and I make an oath. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. So therefore, in chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, the promise and the oath, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold, there's your word, power, to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. We're going for it, God. We're going for it. We're looking to you as we look to you. We're hanging on to the hope. How so? Verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. In other words, the anchors on the locking us down into God's will in here, and God's, the other end of the anchor is locked up there in Christ. So he's there, he's here, locking us in to what? Where we're going. We can't get, we don't have to worry about drifting. We don't have to worry about getting off course. Why? The anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Thus, which hope we have, verse 19, anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth it that within the veil. Whither the forerunner for us is already there, and even Jesus made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So God's wonderful, wonderful power is to be exercised in God's wonderful, wonderful way. So we ought to have the superiority, the power to possess the self-control, God's whole person in God's most wonderful way, giving to us his wonderful person in his completeness, his fullness. And you know that from Ephesians 1, 22, 23. You are his body full, 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 full of him. Not, you need more of him. It doesn't say you're going to get some more. You're not going to get any more. You already have everything. God isn't divided up in little pieces. When you receive God, you receive him. His essence, nature, being, you received him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God. We're in your presence, and when you save us, you save us. And you've given us your word to read and understand in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, we're able to go and handle and grow. As my Father sent me, so send I you. And we're able to do under the oak yoke, going down the corridor of time, we're able to do it. And it isn't hard. It isn't hard. It's just we stop trying to provide and do what we can't do. I'm just going to read a book on how to have temperance. No. I'm going to read a book on how to be meek. I could. But I can't compete when I simply go and believe and abide and rest in the finished work of Christ and say, God, thank you for being my life. And since you are my life, you're in your life, I have your meekness and I have your temperance. I'm on the other side of the yoke, God. So therefore, I'm not working. I'm going to break my back trying to get everything and know everything. And I never succeed anyway. And if I think I succeed, it only takes 2 weeks to go downhill again. So I'm not going to do that. No. I reckon we're to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. And we just enjoy that relationship. Enjoy it with thanksgiving. I'm not. When you say I'm not able, you bet you're not able. I'm saying that to myself. I'm not able. No, I'm not. But God, I'm not trusting my ability. I'm trusting your grace. And that's why I have you. I have you and your life to be my life. And I can just say thank you. And I don't want to be like anybody else. I don't want to go by the dumb system that'll put me in the sewer, actually. If I follow the religious system out there. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'd be a fool of fools when I know better. So therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, God's holy, holy person, doing what he does in his most holy way. Now, we read together in Galatians, and thus in power, in power. So, as we read in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, meekness, temperance, God's power, God's wonderful name in control, and I'm to go and possess that power in a most wonderful way. Now, to see that word is only used a handful of times, anyway, in the New Testament, in power. Power's lots. But in power, temperance, it's not too often. But where is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And you'll remember it. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, picking up, please, Paul, looking at his own life. If I can, chapter 9, and in verse, I'm going to go to a little background. Chapter 9, 1 Corinthians, in verse 24. Know ye not, 24, that they which run in a race, all run, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. There's your word. Remember the Olympics? And back then in those days, very rigorous, very to prepare and train was taking over you. In other words, you gave life to become temperate in a given field. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Therefore, so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one beating the air, like Don Quixote, Quixote or whatever, fighting the windmill. The windmill's turning, and he's out there trying to fight the windmill. We aren't wasting our time shadow boxing. Verse 27, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection. Why? Lest by any means, when I have preached to others and telling them what to do, I myself should be a castaway. Therefore, verse 25, master, every man that striveth for the mastery has to be temperate. Otherwise, I'm going to be put on the shelf because I didn't understand. It isn't me going to do it. And the more we trust ourselves and not trust God, all your decisions are based on you. That's what they're doing. Your feelings, your fears, and you can include Christ in a title, but for practical purposes, Christ isn't part of that, what you're doing at all. It's all your own lonesome, doing what you're doing for the reason you want to do it. When it's God and God gets a hold of your heart, you're resting in it. So it isn't something I have to get. It's something I already have. Then I need to trust God. Otherwise, said Paul, if I didn't trust God, I'd end up being put on the shelf. And God would put me aside, and I'd have wood, hay, and stubble. I don't want to do that, said Paul. Therefore, Peter, if I can, 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, again, just to see it, and this is our word we're looking at, temperance. In 2 Peter, there I am. and in chapter 1, and you know it. Picking up, please, in chapter 1, verse 6. Well, now I'm going to, like, boy, time's gone. Verse 5. We have great and precious, I'll read it. Verse 4. Whereby you are given unto us exceeding, are given unto us great and precious promises, reason, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, godliness brotherliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. And verse 8, 4, if these things abide in you and abound, they make you that you should be neither barren nor unfruitful. What are you doing? The grace, the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit of God is to make you fruitful. And if you're letting God do his work, then you're going to be fruit. You're going to produce fruit. Neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God, we have to go and look to you, giving all diligence and all haste to what? To have zeal. To have zeal. To be not in a hurry, but to hurry. I don't have to be in a hurry, but I don't have to be in a hurry. Like back in the sports thing with the cord. They knew what they were doing, and they weren't in a hurry. They just knew what they were doing. They knew what to do. The plumber that's doing his plumbing, whatever they do, different work, but the plumber knows his work, and it should be very messy and very complicated, but the plumber will systematically just go and put everything in order, inch by inch. I wouldn't know how to do it, but the plumber would. He knows just where to start, and he's systematic. He's in control. He's in control. He knows everything has to be done. He's in control. The doctor in surgery going to do what he's going to do, and he knows. He knows. He's going to take your appendix, I'll make believe. Your appendix. And then take your appendix out. And he's up here. He starts up here in your shoulder, trying to find your appendix. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He knows right where to go. I don't know how they do all these things. They push these little holes in now with the machines, you know. Used to have people operate now. Now they have machines do it. Pretty soon AI will do it for you. So you're going to see the AI machine will look at you and determine what to do and do everything. No, God, they know what to do. So God, what are we doing? You know what to do, so you know how to help us inch by inch. So I'm going to teach you. You don't know it. You're going to learn it. You'll learn how to love, and you'll learn how to fear God. You'll learn them. They aren't natural. They aren't normal. You'll learn to do so. Anyway, I got to quit. Thank you for that. I hope you got a little bit. 9 temperances. Thank you. And thank you.